Today we're going to learn Nida Kaf Bet. We're going to start at the very bottom of Kaf Aleph Amud Bet at the last line, Amar Abaye. We were in the middle of discussing a machloket that we found in a Braita. We were trying to say that maybe the issue of Shfoferet, whether a woman has blood coming out through a tube and it doesn't come out directly in contact with her body, is a machloket between Tanaim in the following Braita, where we saw Rabbi Lezer's opinion, Dam Velo Chaticha, and then Tanakama said, that's not dam nida, that's dam chaticha. And then we tried to figure out what's the difference, and we said the difference is if the chaticha is cracked. So if the chaticha is cracked, then we're going to say the Tanakama says that's fine, that's considered bivsara, and Tanakama is Rabbi Eliezer, and Chachamim, we're going to say that's not dam nida, that's dam chaticha. Dam chaticha is something entirely different. Okay, and then since they think it's entirely different, what they seem to be saying is, in other words, again, Rabbi Lezer will say only because it's cracked and it's touching her body. But if it were smooth, no. Comes Chachamim to say no. This is the reason why this is a mitame is for a totally different reason. It has nothing to do with dam nida. It's called dam chaticha. But if it were dam nida, theoretically, we'd say the Chachamim are mitame even if it's touching her body. Even if it's not touching her body, sorry. They would say even in a shvoferet, it would be dam nida. So now, Abaye comes to reject this explanation. And that was to say that their machloket is all about shvoferet. And that's not necessarily what their whole machloket's about, but that would be a nafkamina between the two of them. So Abaye, b'shvoferet kule amalo pligi d'tova. He says, no, everybody agrees that if it comes out through a tube and not direct contact with her body, she's tohora. Ki pligi b'chaticha. Their machloket is specifically about the topic they were discussing, not some other topic. Their machloket was about this clump that comes out of her body. Mar savar darka sheli shali rotam b'chaticha. Umar savar ein darka sheli shali rotam b'chaticha. The question is, the chaticha generally have dam or not? So if generally we assume a woman sees blood with the chaticha, and this woman didn't see, but we can assume there must have been blood and she didn't see, so then we're going to say she's tmeah. According to Chachamim, who say tahora, they're going to say, right, so let me just clarify that, because both of them said tahora, but Rabbi Lezer or Tanakama said that if it's cracked and then it comes in contact with her body, she's going to be tmeah. And that's because we assume that there was blood in there, and therefore the blood came in contact with her body, and it really was bivsara, but if it were shvoferet, it wouldn't be. Chachamim are basically just saying she doesn't normally see dam b'chaticha, and therefore she's going to be tahora for that reason, but not actually having to do anything with shvoferet. Rava Amar, Rava has a different way of explaining. He says, "Dekule alma ein darka sheli shalirot dam b'chaticha." Really, this issue, forget about it, not having to do with shvoferet. This doesn't even have to do with, is there usually blood or is there not blood? The issue here is, and this is a machlok that we already saw before, hacha b'isha tehora u'mekor makomo tamei kamithlege. The machloket is all about, is the uterus a place that's considered carrying or has the ability to be metame, and anything that passes by it, so here comes this chaticha, passes the uterus, is the uterus, the makom of the uterus, the place of it, tamei. So Rabbi Lezer savar isha tahora v'dam tamei. The woman is tahora, meaning she's tahora from nida, but the dam is tamei da'ate derech makor because it came out through the makor. So this chaticha basically ends up passing by her uterus, becoming tamei. That makes the woman tamei for a day only. She's not exactly tahora. She's tahora from nida, but the dam is tamei because it comes derech makor. V'rabanan savrei isha tahora. Umekor makomo tahor. Okay, he holds, no. Not only is she tahora, but the makor, the uterus, is tahor also, and therefore anything that passes by it doesn't make it tame at all. And therefore, the sense of having nothing to do with our topic, and therefore it's not a machloka tana'im, or at least we can't prove that it's a machloka tana'im, about whether the blood comes out of the shvoferet is tahor or tame. You can see that they lean toward saying everybody agrees that it's tahor. Okay, so again, you can't really prove from there that that's the case, but that's the position, sort of the sugya leans toward. Okay, new question. If we're talking about blood coming out of a woman through a tube, we're now going to talk about semen coming out of a man, right? Generally, we call that tuma keri. Why is it called tuma keri, by the way? Because it says ki kre or something, mikre laila, it says in the pasuk. So from mikre laila, something happens at night. Okay, just a little background about it. So If you're Tumat Keri, so you can't, what can't you do? You can't go to the Mikdash and you can't eat Truma. Or, you know, and if you come in contact with them, you're going to carry Tumah with you. Also, Ezra instituted more extra things that you can't say Kriyat Shema and you can't learn Torah and things like that. Now, eventually they repealed the Gzerah of Ezra. But there was a time period where, you know, which basically meant any time after having sexual relations or any sort of seminal emission, you couldn't really do anything until you went to the mikveh. It was a way, I think Ezra did it as a way to encourage the men to go to the mikveh. Anyway.
But would they still be Tumah until that night?
So I think, I didn't look this up, but I assume that for the purposes of learning Torah and Kriyat Shema, so they could do that already. And that's, again, the Tful Yom status. You've gone to the mikveh, you can do those things, you just have to wait till the nighttime for the Kodshim issues or the Truma issues. Okay, so now, here comes our question, a little bit of an unpleasant question. Ba'amine Rabba Merafuna, Haro'ek Keri B'Kesam. So what if it's coming, he kind of, I don't know exactly, but he sticks this kesam, toothpick, needle, something,
a reed,
that's hollow, and the semen comes out through that, okay? He puts it at the tip, and the semen comes out through there. Even it says in Rashi that it, hechnis kesam b'fi amah v'hotzi bo zaro, like as a way to kind of get this, the semen out. Hard to imagine exactly, but leave it at that. So mahu mimenu amar rachmana? You have to wonder, right? These questions, are they purely theoretical? As they're taking the shvoferet and they're comparing it to the, now why would they be similar? Because the whole thing we learned about the shvoferet was, it says dami yezova bivsara, in her flesh, and that was why the shvoferet was the exception. Well, what's the pasuk by a man? It says zot torat hazav. We're going to go back to this pasuk, so pay attention. This is the rules for a zav. That's someone who has some abnormal discharge. And one that semen emits from. So now, and that's litamaba. We're going to get back to that part later. What's the word here? Mimenu. It comes from him. That sounds very similar to bibsara. Okay, so the question is it the same or not? Mimenu amarachmana? Ad dinafik mibsaro? Does it have to actually come out straight from his body? The lobe kesam? O dilma hai mimenu ajitete tumato lachutz? Maybe it just means it has to leave his body. Afilu bekesam. And then it does afilu bekesam nami. It doesn't matter how it left his body through this reed or not, but it left its body, his body. So that's the question. That's what Rabba asked Rav Huna. Amar le, Rav Huna answers, since he's only mitame, if there's enough semen that comes out to seal the opening of his penis, then that's the only case he's tame. So therefore, if he uses this reed, now here I'm not exactly sure of the assumption is much less comes out, maybe because the reed is very thin, much less comes out, and it's not going to be enough of a shiur, so for other reasons, it's not going to be the case. So now they're going to get off on this issue that it's eino matame ala b'chatimat pihama. Now the assumption is that also it touched it. In other words, there has to be contact. Okay? So they're saying now, as it's coming out, lememra, that also, some people say chatimat pihama, not just the amount, but that it actually has to kind of seal over and cover the top there, the tip. So lememra dinogea have. Are you trying to say, now, what, okay, before we even move on, I have to say one thing about tumah. There's two types of, I mean, there's many types of tumah, but two types of tumah here. One is tumah of nigi'ah, that's tumah maga. Something touches something else and it becomes tameh. Another is tumah ri'iyah, we call it, like haro'ah dam. She sees a flow coming out, and that generally relates to tumah that relates to things coming out of people's bodies, like zav and keri and all these things. So where would you put keri? You would put keri in that category. Mm-hmm. Now the difference, there's a big difference between tumah ri'iyah and tumah maga. Tumah maga, like we learned in all types of tumah, there's a minimum shiur. In order for something to be metame something else, and or even for it to become tame, there has to be a minimum shiur. There's different shiurim, right? The sheretz has to be a certain size, and this. There's all sorts of shiurim, but it needs some sort of minimum shiur. Whereas a ri'iyah, a flow that's coming out, it doesn't matter how much comes out, it's a mashu. So therefore, they say, well, look, all of a sudden when it comes to tumah keri, you would have thought it was tumah ri'iyah, But now you're saying that there's a minimum shiur, which means that it seems to be in the category of tuma maga. And it's talking about chatima piyama, which seems to indicate also there's some contact going on. But really the issue is the shiur. So the memor de nogea havi, are you saying this is tuma nigia, tuma maga? Ela me'ata, if you're going to say it's tuma maga, al yistur beziva, then it shouldn't knock out. Okay, now we're getting, again, you need a lot of background here. The zav is like a zava. What happens when you're a zava gdola, or you're a zav? You have to wait 7 clean days. Now, what does it mean, clean days? It means you can't have anything of tuma coming out of your body. Semen is considered also tuma that knocks out zava. What they're trying to say now is if zava is tuma maga and not tuma ri'iya, then it's in a totally different category, and it shouldn't knock out your 7 clean days of zav. Okay? And it does. So therefore, they're going to say, Elamat, if you're going to say it's tuma maga, al yistor b'zivat, shouldn't cancel out the 7 clean days of zava. Alamatanya, and then therefore, why does it say in the Braita? Okay, and here we go back to that pasuk. Zot torat hazav, v'asher tetzeh mimenu shichvat zera. Notice there's a comparison here between zav and tumat keri. So ma ziva soteret, av shichvat zera nami soter. They learn from the comparison, what we call a hekesh. Two things are in the pasuk just juxtaposed to each other. Teaches you, just like ziva knocks out the 7 clean days, likewise shechvat zera knocks them out. So therefore he says to him, I don't understand if you're assuming, Rav Nachman, the way you explain, I'm sorry, Rav Huna, the way you're explaining this is that it's because it's b'chatima piyama, it sounds like you're talking about tumat negiya. If it's tumat negiya, why should it knock out the zav? And look, the knockout with the days of the zav, at the clean days, and look, it does. So Amar Le, Rav Huna answers, stira, hainu tama, he says, stira, like you're talking about canceling days? That's a different reason. The reason why is not really because of the semen that's coming out. Hainu tama de sotel, and it's, don't ask me a question from that, that's a totally different issue. Why? Lefisha I afshar la belot tzichtzuche ziva. There's an assumption that if semen's coming out, and I assume it's because he was already a zav, and now he's in his clean days for zav, when the semen comes out, it must be carrying teeny little drops of zav with it. And that's why it cancels the days, not because it's keri. Keri itself wouldn't, but because the keri is carrying with it zav. Okay? And you have to say, well, then why isn't it zav? In other words, and maybe the teeny tipot, you would have thought they were batel, and this is telling you they're not.
Differentiate between this or that.
You can't really. That's the point. The point is, since you can't really differentiate, we're assuming, you have to assume the worst. You have to assume that there must be some there. That's how I view it. So then they say, well, okay, if you're going to assume then, now, there's something you don't know, which we're going to learn in a minute, which is, there's two ways the 7 days can get canceled out. Okay, let's say you're in day number 3 of your 7 clean days, and the man has...
Does canceled mean you have to restart the
calendar? That's exactly going to be the thing. Sorry. So if you're in day number 3, and you have, the man has a zav discharge. So what happens? He has to start all the way from the beginning. But if semen comes out and not zav, then, right, there's an assumption that you could tell the difference. No, it's maybe not when they're mixed together, but you could tell the difference. Then it just cancels that day and not that you have to go back to the beginning. So that's going to be the Gemara's question. If the whole reason, if you're going to say, Rav Huna, that the reason why is because it has zav mixed in with it, well, then it should be treated like zav and not like shechvat zera. So here's what he says. So therefore, he says, alameata tistor kol shiva. But then, according to you, if it's because it has zav mixed in there, then it should cancel all the days that whatever you count in, and you should start from the beginning. And alamatanya, and then why does it say in the following braita that that's not the case? Where do we learn that it's not the case? Zot Torat Hazav v'chulei. Remember the comparison in the pasuk of the two. Ma ziva soter et atchich vazera soter, which seems to say they're the same. But then they say, but ima ziva soter et kol shiva afchich vazera nami soter kol shiva. Are you trying to say, though, that just like ziva cancels all of them, you have to start from the beginning, shich vazera would also do the same? Talmud Lomar, how do we know that's not the case? Litam Abba. Notice those words at the end of the pasuk, litam abba. What does that mean? Ein lecha ba ela masha amor ba. That means each one can only cancel to the power that it has. Meaning, right, if you see tuma keri, you're only tummy for a day. So it can't cancel all your 7 because it's not a 7-day type of tuma, it's only a day tuma. Whereas the zava is a 7-day type tuma, which means that it would need, you need to cancel your 7 days and start from the beginning. So while the pasuk compares them, it also seems to say ba specifically what's designated for that item, and therefore there's a difference. So therefore he says, if you say it's all because zav is mixed in, it doesn't make sense for, with the halach. So he says, so therefore soteret yom achad. So Amar Lei, he answers him like this, and he says, Kseret akatuv hi, ziva gmura delo arva ba shechvat zera, soteret kol shiva, sichtukhe ziva de arva ba shechvat zera, lo soteret ele yom achad. So his easy answer is, theoretically, it's really problematic because it has zava in it, but the Torah distinguished between shechvat zera and zav, and the Torah distinguished even between, right, a ziva, a flow of this zav stuff, versus shechvat zera, which we assume has mixed in with it some sort of zav anyway, but the Torah is what we call it, gzeret akachev. The Torah made the distinction, not me, right? It's saying, you can argue with me, but it doesn't really matter. The Torah made this distinction. The Torah set it up, and that's what we call gzeret akachev, and therefore don't ask that question. So in the end, he says, right, that... Right, so where do we start? The whole question, Rabbi asked Rav Huna, what if you see a derech kisam, right? Derech is kisam. And then he says, it's not going to be because it doesn't have the minimum shear. Then we got off on this question, is it Torah maga and not tumat re'ia? And he basically says, yes, it's tumat maga. It's something different, right? And mainly we also, the Torah set it up as something different. Okay, moving on. Ba'amine Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina me Rabbi Elazar. Dam yavesh mahu. Okay, I was thinking it sounds like lulav yavesh, etrol yavesh, you know, now we're talking about dam yavesh. Right? Whenever anything dries out, it's not even a joke that it's similar, right? The whole idea is, how do we treat something that's dried out? Is it like the original item or not? So what if we have dry blood? So mahu. Now, why would you think dry blood is excluded? Because the pasuk says, ki yazov zov dama yamim rabim, right? And then it talks about a flow of blood coming out, which is obviously not dry. So do we say, ki yazov zov dama, amar rachmana, the Torah said that, and therefore, ad medav daivle, lach in yavesh lo, it basically means it has to have a flow and then only liquid and not dried out. Udilma hay ki azuv zov dama orcha demeltehi ulaolam afili yavesh nami. Was it just that the Torah gave the basic case? The basic case is there's a flow of blood coming out. It's rare that it's dry blood coming out. But if it were to be dry blood coming out, then, well, actually, I shouldn't say it that way. Let's just say, if it would be dry blood, right, it would still be. It's just that's not what the pasuk said, because that's the common case. So Amar Lei Tani Tuai says, let's learn it from the following source. Dam hanida ubasa hamet mitam'im lachim v'yiveshim. The blood of anida and the flesh of a dead body are mitame, whether they're liquidy or whether they're dry. So what do you say, right? What's the assumption that we mean here? The assumption is there's two ways the blood can be dry. There's blood that could come out already dry, or there's blood that could come out dry and then come in contact with something. So they assume that this source is talking about blood that came out, it was still wet, and then it dried out. So just like basar hamet, and let's think about it, compare it to basar hamet. Basar hamet is, you know, originally it did have life in it, and then it dried out over time. So he says to him, right, so he tries to answer, oh, look here, it says it's mitame. So now, person who asked the question, right, it was Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, who asked Rabbi Elazar, comes back to him and says, no, Amrle, lach v'naseh avesh lo kameh b'aleh. That's not the type of blood I was talking about. I wasn't talking about where it came out liquidy and then dried up. Kimeh b'aleh yavesh me'ikara. I was talking about if it was originally dry. So he says, here he pulls out, right, Tana'itic source for every question. Hanami tani'tua, that also appears in the Tana'itic source. Okay, and what source? Our Mishnah. Ha, now we know why we're talking about this. Hamapelet kimin klipa, kimin sa'ara, kimin afal, kimin yavhushim. Adumim, tatil amayim. Remember this? If you have some thin, like a peel coming out, you have a hair, something like a hair, you have like dirt. Now, dirt is generally dry. Okay, so it looks like dirt or like mosquitoes. If it's red, what do? Tatia lamayim. You put it in water, because the assumption is it's dry. Im nimochu, if it dissolves into the water, tme'ah, then you know that it's blood. So ihachi, he says like this, if what you're saying is right, then, therefore it's afar, right? So then he says, ihachi baloni mochunami. If you're going to say dry is tamei, well then you shouldn't need to put it in water and dissolve it. Okay, so now they say, I'm a rabba, so what does rabba answer? Ki loni mochu. And the assumption is, right, if it dries out, if it's dry, and if dry is tamei no matter what, then you shouldn't need to put it in water to see if it dissolves. And that, right, so then they say that creates a problem here because by putting it in water, what are you showing? That you need it to get wet again. I was thinking of those little toys the kids have where there's teeny little sponges and then you leave it in water and it comes to life. You know, it's like that. It brings it back to life and then it shows that it needs to be something that can be lach. So Rabbi says, no, you're wrong. You didn't understand the test. The test of putting in water is not to get it back to its liquid or origin. Amaraba kiloni mochu briya bifnatsmahi. Now, kiloni mochu proves if it doesn't dissolve into the water, then what does it show? It shows that it wasn't blood in the first place. And it's just an indicator of what's the nature of this item that came out of her body. Okay? So now they say, okay, our big question that we've been wondering all along. It's great the Gemara asks it. Umi ika ki agavna? Is it likely that something comes out of a woman's body that's not blood? Like, what are these items you're talking about that are coming out of women's bodies? Is it really possible that there's such a thing that's not blood? So, to answer this question, they're going to bring some stories which have some interesting halachic ramifications, depending on how you read the story. And this is one of these cases where if the Gemara had simply put quotation marks, we would have been a lot easier to understand what's going on. Okay, so So they say, in fact, yes, there could be other things coming out of women's bodies that aren't blood. V'hatanya, don't we know from the following braita? Amar Rabbi Elazar b'Rabbi Tzadok. Shnei ma'asim he'la aba mitiv'in liyavne. Okay, he says, my father brought two ma'asim from Tivon, that was where he lived in the north, to Yavne, right, which was where the Sanhedrin went, right? We're talking about Dor Yavne, and the Sanhedrin moved after the Sanhedrin moved to Yavne from Yerushalayim. So he says, and Rabbi Tzadok was one of the big people in that generation, Rabbi Lazar tells the following story. My father brought the following question before the rabbis. Two questions. The first goes like this. There was a woman who was discharging these peel-like red pieces. Ubao v'shalu et Abba, and he didn't know what to say. V'Abba sha'al l'chachamim, he asked the chachamim, they didn't know what to do. V'chachamim sha'alu l'rof'im. So very interestingly, they go and they ask the doctors. And they say, right, which is nice to see, the rabbis went to the doctors, they wanted to see, what is this? V'amru lahem, isha zo, maka yesh la b'toch me'eha, shemimena mapelet kemin klipot. So they say, this woman has some sort of wound inside that's causing it to create these klipot that are coming out. So now, does the quote end there or does the quote continue? Let's assume right now the quote continues and I'll read it that way and then we'll see if a way of reading it a different way. So, therefore, since it has a makah, tatia lamayim, put these red peel-like items in water, im nimochu tme'a. If they dissolve, then we know that she's tme'a. Now, then, okay, so what happened? That's the end of the story. So according to that reading, what happened? The doctor said, it's interesting, because the doctor seems to say she has a makah. I guess his question is, are these things coming from the makah or not? And the way you'll know, if it's blood, then it'll dissolve. And if it's not blood, but it's coming from this wound she has, now it's a little weird, because you would have thought the wound means she has blood, but the blood is coming from a wound, and therefore it doesn't bother us. But that won't help then if you put it in water. That won't identify if it's, because no matter what, it's blood. It's just a matter of what kind of blood. So you'd have to explain according to this that what they're saying is it's causing, the injury she has is causing this discharge of some other something. Maybe it's causing a peeling of some part of her body. I don't know. Whatever it is, and you'll know if it dissolves in water or not. So that's one way of reading it, in which case, what do you see? That's the end of the story. It shows the rabbis followed the doctors, right, which is interesting. there's a machloket about whether, besides that we're going to see another machloket in this, but within that reading, so notice it says rofim and it doesn't say rofe. Right? You know, when you go to the doctor, lots of times if it's something complicated, you go and get a second opinion. Because one doctor, okay, it's one doctor's opinion. So some people say that if you're going to paskan halacha based on a doctor, you have to get two opinions about it. So there's a different way of reading the sugya, whether we assume rofim is dafka, or that's just happened to be the story. There were a bunch of, you know, they found a group of doctors. Doesn't necessarily mean that you have to ask more than one doctor. So that's a really interesting halachic debate. The second way of reading it is that the doctors, quote, ended by saying, this is a makah. And then the rabbis didn't really buy into that. And then they said, tatil lamayim, put it in water, and see if nimochu tmea. And they rejected what the doctor said. And some people say this shows you can't follow the doctors, which is an interesting reading. I wouldn't necessarily want to go by that reading, but it's an interesting reading. Because it's difficult. It's difficult for a few reasons. Well, first of all, what it does explain is, if it's a makah and it would be dam makah, then why are they putting it, dissolving isn't going to help? And the point is, they didn't really care if it was a makah or not. They just said, you know what, if it's blood, it's blood, and we're going to just, you know, and that's one way of reading it. Another thing that's a little, that's a good, you know, one of the strengths of that shita. The problem is, why did they go ask the doctors in the first place if they weren't planning to follow what the doctors said? And the second story seems to, I think, reads a little more simply, simpler according to the first explanation, that they really went with the doctors. V'shuv ma'aseh v'isha sh'aita ma'pelet k'min sa'arot adumot. She had these hairy red things coming out. U'ba'u v'sha'alat abba, same thing, she asked Rabbi Tzadok. V'abba sh'al ha'chachamim, v'chachamim l'rof'im. V'amru lahem, shuma yesh la b'toch me'ah. She has a mole inside. Shemimena ma'pelet k'min sa'arot adumot, which is causing these sa'arot adumot to come out. Tatil lamayim v'nimochu t'me'ah. Right, and then it, again, it says, put it in water and see what happens if it dissolves or not. Okay. That's the end of the story, and this was to show that sometimes there's other items that come out of women that are not necessarily blood. Amar Rish Lakish. Now we're going to get into details about what type of water you use, okay? How much time does it have to be in there, right? You could leave something in for 10 minutes and it might not dissolve, but if you leave it in for a day, it might dissolve. So Amar Rish Lakish, ubi poshrin, it has to be tepid water, not cold water. Because as we know, things don't dissolve as well in cold water. Tanya Nami Hachi, here's a brighter to support Rish Lakish. Tatil lamayim ube poshrin. Okay, put them in lukewarm water. Rashbag omer, okay, this is another gross part of today's talk. Mima'achato berok al gabeat ziporin. She takes it, this thing that came out of her body, she puts it on her nail. She puts a little spit, first she puts a little spit, she puts it on her nail, and she rubs her two nails together to see if it kind of falls apart, okay? So now they say, my benai, what's the difference whether you put it in water or you rub it with your nail? Amar Ravina, ma'ucha yideh hadchaki kabenai. According to Rashbag, if you smear it with your hand, with your finger and it dissolves, that's fine. According to the people who say you put it in water, they think that by smearing it with your hand, that's already applying a lot of force. The fact that it'll dissolve that way doesn't prove anything, because that's you doing it, basically. And not, it doesn't,
it's fundamentally
and
blood,
you'd have to put
matter?
It in water. What?
If it's fundamentally blood, why does that matter? How much effort you have to go to dissolve
it? Right. So that's, well, that's the debate, you know, that would be a source of debate between them, whether that's a, whether that makes a difference or not. Rashbag obviously thinks there's no difference. But Tanakama would say there is. Hatam Tnan. Okay, there's another Mishnah that says, Kama Shriatan Beposhrin Me'ed La'ed. How long do you have to soak it? For 24 hours. Now, this is a different case.
How can you wait that long to determine the status of the woman?
Okay, so first of all, before we get there, this is a question not about dam of a woman. This is a question about a sheretz. If you remember, we learned about a sheretz that dried out is not matame. But the question is, what does it mean dried out? So you have to put it in water. If after 24 hours it kind of, you know, is no longer dried out anymore, yeah, very pleasant, then you know it's mitame. And if not, not. So they say, just like there, you soak it in tepid water, made late for 24 hours, hachamai, what about here? Me being a made late, although do we need 24 hours or not? So what do they say? Right, sheretz u'nevela da'akushe, do we say there's sheretz and nevela that are very hard, be'ina me'elei, kind of to soften it, it will take a long time. Aval dam derakech lo, but dam is already, by nature, much softer. So maybe not. O dilma lo shnau, does it not make a difference? And the Gemara answers, take it. Okay, I didn't look for halacha, they pass, and usually with the teiku, they go l'hachmir, and then like you're saying, Naomi, it affects this woman's status for 24 hours, but you can say, okay, she'll be besafek tuma for 24 hours. Okay, now we're going to, the rest of today's daf is going to be dealing with those other two cases in the Mishnah, the last two, about a woman who miscarries or has a discharge of something that looks like a fish or a grasshopper in those categories. And if you remember, the Mishnah there said, only if blood comes out with them, she's tehora. And then we said, if she has a min behemah chaya or oaf, if it looks like an animal or a bird, then she has to treat it.
If there's blood with it, she's tameh.
What?
If there's blood with it, she's tameh.
Sorry, I said the opposite? Yeah. Okay. If there's blood with it, she's tameh. Otherwise, she's tehora. Whereas in the case of the behemah, there's a machloket. Rabbi Meir says she has to do demei leida. It's considered like a real birth. And Chachamim say, no, it's not a vlad. Now, the first question is, we're obviously going to get to what's the difference between the two. But before that, if you notice, in the first case of the Mishnah that we spent a long time on, the Mapelet Chaticha, where we said, if it has blood, she's Tumea'ah, if not, she's Teorah, Rabbi Yehuda disagreed and said, no matter what, she's Tumea'ah, even though you didn't see blood, because we assume there's blood. But he doesn't say the same thing with the Dagim Chagavim. So the big question is going to be, does he argue also in that case, and they just didn't mention it? Or does he agree in that case? And if he does agree, then what's the difference? Hamapelet kemin dagim. So the Gemara asks, v'litzel dami Rabbi Yehuda b'ham? Why didn't Rabbi Yehuda disagree about this case? Because really, right, what his whole theory was, anything that comes out of her body must be carrying blood, so we should have said the same thing by the dagim. So Amar Rish Lakish b'machloket shnuya v'rabbananhi. Really, it is a machloket, and the Mishnah just brings us the rabbi's approach. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Rabbi Yochanan has a different approach. He says, Afilu tema Rabbi Yehuda, ad kan lo ka'ama Rabbi Yehuda hatam el agabe chaticha, da avidam de karish. What's this chaticha made out of? It's made out of blood that's the word coagulated?
Coalesced.
Okay, it's made up of blood that coalesced. Bahave chaticha, and that's how it became a chaticha. Aval bria lo have, but it's not something else. Whereas the assumption is maybe this dagim thing is something entirely different, and therefore it doesn't necessarily have blood. Now, this has to, though, connect with the previous Rabbi Yochanan. If you remember in yesterday's daf, what did we say? That Rabbi Yochanan had this in between, there were two versions of what Rabbi Yochanan said. So now they're going to say like this. Ulahach lishna da'am Rabbi Yochanan, if you remember, the last version was that what? What did Rabbi Yochanan say? Iyafshar l'ptichat hakever below dam. Okay, now, what is that? No matter what, if her uterus opens, we assume there was blood. So if she's mapelet dagim, surav dagim, it came out of her uterus, we're assuming. And since it came out of her uterus, there's no way the uterus opened without there being blood. So since he said the whole machloka was b'yefshar l'ptichat hakever below dam kamiflagei, then lifnog nami Rabbi Yehuda b'ha. So how could Rabbi Yochanan here say that Rabbi Yehuda is not disagreeing, where if his whole logic is that it all has to do with did the uterus open or not, there should be no difference, dag or chaticha. So they have to say, man de manehach lishna manehacha manehachi. The one who holds that, Rabbi Yochanan in the previous sugya, said that the whole machloka between them was, is it possible the uterus could open and there won't be blood or not? Meaning that they would argue also in this case, would have to say that in our sugya, Rabbi Yochanan v'Rish Lakish ta'amrei travayu b'machloket shnuya v'rabananhi. So we have two versions of what Rabbi Yochanan said in this sugya, which is affected by our two versions of what he said in the earlier sugya that we learned yesterday. Now we're going to get to the min behema. Hamapelet kemin behema. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel. My time at the Rabbi Meir. Why does Rabbi Meir hold that this min behema is treated like a leida? So he answers, Ho il v'ne'em rabba yitzira ke'adam. They say, if you notice, when God creates the world, it says, Vayitzar Hashem Elokim min ha'adamah kol chayat ha'sadeh, uses the lashon of yitzira. And by Adam, it also says, Vayitzar, right, what's the pasuk? I don't have it here. I don't know why they don't give it to me, but right, God creates man in Perek Bet of Breshit. Right, it says, you have it there. You have it there? Okay. Vayetzer Hashem. No, that's the Chayat HaSadeh. Yeah, Vayetzer Hashem Elokim et Ha'adam. I don't have it here, but yeah. That's it. Yeah. So that's also in Perek Bet. Says, right? Okay, we're going to see. In Perek Aleph, it says, Vayivra Elohim et Ha'adam b'tzalmo. And in Perek Bet, it says, Vayetzer Hashem et Ha'adam, or I don't know exactly the words. But, so, what are they going to say? Since it says, Vayetzer by the Behemah, and it says, by the Adam, we're going to have a Gzeira Shavah. And we're going to say like that. So then they say, okay, if that's going to mean that mapelet, because of that, so mapelet, surah chaya, since God created them with the same word, so it means that they're both created, kind of considered creatures, that we're going to have to be, you know, waiting tumat leida, even if, you know, if a woman gives, has a miscarriage, it looks like that. So they say, but elamayata, hamapelet mutanin, okay, the sea monster, if you have something that looks like the sea monster, tehei motmea leida, which it's not, because, right, it's like dagim. And yet, why would you think it should be? Ho il v'ne'er marbo yitzirah ka'adam. Now, how does it say yitzirah ka'adam? Sh'ne'emar v'yivra Elohim et ha'taninim ha'gdolim. So, now, right now, they're assuming bri'ah and yitzirah mean the same thing. Now, this is weird. Usually, gzeirah shavah is the exact word. However, we're going to see, and if you remember this, gzeirah shavah sometimes are made by words that are synonymous. Where they're going to bring an example. So first they say, ah, that's easy. Amri danim yitzira mi yitzira ve'en danim b'riyah mi yitzira, right? When we do gzeira shava, same word, not synonyms, but actually the same word. So they say, my nafkamina, ha tane, he says, no, who cares? What's the difference? You could still learn b'riyah from yitzira. How do we know that? Ha tane deber Rabbi Yishmael in the mitzora, okay? You have tzarad in the house, and the kohen goes to check the house, and then he leaves, and then he comes back. So it says, in one of the cases, Vishava Kohen, and then another time it says, Uba Kohen. And what are they darshan? Zoe Shiva, Zoe Bia, and they learn that the procedure he does, if he finds a nega in each case, it doesn't say it in both cases, he learns one from the other. So here you see, you can learn Shiva from Bia, it's the same thing, or Bia from Shiva. Ve'od, Nigmar, and not only that, but I'll tell you even more. Nigmar Bria mi Bria, Dichtiv ha'ivra Elohim et ha'adam b'tzalmo. And therefore, you could say Bri'ah to Bri'ah, and let's learn it from there, even if you don't say Bri'ah and Yetzirah. So either which way, the Tanin should basically, you should have to wait Tumat Leida based on this. So what are the answer? Amre, Vayivra legufe, Vayitzer lafnuye. Vayivra is necessary, because you have to say, God created man. Once you say it, well, you don't need to repeat it. So when it says Vayitzer, right, this is obviously not talking about the difference between Perek Aleph and Perek Bet, but assuming this is all one big Michlol, so it already says it. You don't need to say it again. That word is unnecessary. Then they say, Vidanim bria mi bria, ela vayitzar mufne. So what do they say? Sorry. Adraba, you could say the reverse. Vayitzar lugufe, vayivra lafnuye. Right? You could say, there's no order. When you start saying about which pasuk is unnecessary, it's not like that one came first and therefore the second one is unnecessary. You could say the second one is the main one and the first one is unnecessary. And then Vayivra is free. V'danim b'riyami b'riya. And then you could say, and then let's learn to the tanim and not to the chaya. So what are the answer? Ela, Vayitzer mufne mishnei tzadim. Why? Right now. This is, if you remember, we've learned this before, it means both the pasuk it's learned from and the pasuk it's learned to are both extra. The Vayitzer by the Chaya is unnecessary because it already said that God created the Chayot, and this is another pasuk where it says that God created the Chayot, and Vayitzer of Adam is unnecessary. Whereas when it comes to the Tanim, there's only one mention, it's not unnecessary. So this is Mufne Mishnei Tzadim. Okay? Mufne Gabe Adam u'mufne Gabe Behema. Okay? It's Mufne by both. Why? Vayivra Gabe Adam and in the Vayivra for the Taninim, Vayivra gabei adam mufne, v'gabei taninim eino mufne. So we have vayitzer in both places is free. It's not necessary. You don't need it. But when it comes to vayivra, the vayivra itzel adam, you could say it's unnecessary if you have the vayitzer first. But the vayivra of the taninim is not mufne. So now they say, my mufne gabei behema. How do you know that it's mufne by behema? Ile ma midichtiv vayas Elohim et chayat haaretz. If you're going to say it's because it says that God created the chayot haaretz, and then it says, and God created, in the word of Yetzirah, the, you know, from the adama, kol chayot ha-sadeh, so you could say the exact same thing by tanin. Kabei tanin nami afnu yemufne, why? Because it says, ve'et kol haremes, it also says vayaz, God created, right? And in the list of things he created, et kol remes ha-adama, which are creepy crawlers, which would include the taninim. So they have both also. So now we have everything is mufne. So again, we're stuck with our question. So they say no. Remes dichtiv hatam diyabashehu. Now that says remes adama, and the sea monster is a sea monster, right? He's a creature of the sea and not the earth, and therefore it's not mufne. So we're back to that one's mufne, that one's not mufne, right? And that's one has both psukim free, the other one only has the pasuk about adam free and not the pasuk about the tanini. So now they want to know what's the real difference between mufne and not mufne, and mufne mitzad echad and mufne mishnei tzadim. So there's actually a machloket about this. Okay, if it's mufne only on one end and not on both ends versus both ends. Nafkamina da amar Rabbi Yehuda amar Shmuel mishum Rabbi Yishmael, or some people say not mishum Rabbi Yishmael. Kol gzera shava she'ena mufne kol ikar. He starts off with if it's not mufne at all, ein limidim himena. You can't learn gzera shava if both words are needed for. You also have to remember that gzera shavas are only learned if you have a masoret. But anyway, it's not really dealing with that at this point. But they're saying if both psukim are necessary, both words are necessary, then you can't learn anything. Mufne mitzad echad lemedim ve'ein moshivin. You can learn, but you can't question. Okay? Meaning you can do the gzera shava and no one can knock it out by any logical argument. L'rabbanan, l'medim u'meshivim. But according to the rabbis, if it's mufne mitzad echad, you can learn the gzera shava, but if someone knocks it out, it can easily get knocked out. It's almost like a one-legged chair can't really stand, right? So it's like that. It's not as on solid ground. Mufne mishnei tzadim, divrei hakol l'medim ve'emeshivim. But both agree that if it's mufne mishnei tzadim, then you can't knock it out. For Rabbi Yishmael, so now the obvious question according to Rabbi Yishmael, might ikah be mufne mitzad echad lemufne mishnei tzadim? If both of them were limedim ve'em mishivim, so why is there a difference? Nafkamina dehecha de'ikah mufne mitzad echad u'mufne mishnei tzadim shavkina mufne mitzad echad v'yafkina mufne mishnei tzadim. Now, that's our case. He says when you have one that has one mufne and not the other, and you're not sure should you do that gzeira shava or gzeira shava where both are mufne, so one is greater than the other, right? If you'll choose that one over that one. Ulahachi afne rachmana lebehema mishnei tzadim ki hecha delo nigmar mimufne mitzad echad. Okay, and that's why in this case, the behema and the adam is mufne mishnei tzadim to teach you that's the gzeira shava we're going to make and not the gzeira shava to the taninim.